Good evening, everyone, and praise be to the Lord for giving us this opportunity to come back again and to study from God's Word. Shall we begin in prayer? Father, we are thankful this evening to be back here again together, to be able to look into your Word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the freedom we have to meet. And Lord, thank you for all the blessings we enjoy to be able to gather like this and to learn from your Word and to pray unto you and to your fellowship. We pray, Lord, as we open your Word, strengthen us and speak to us and help us, Lord, to learn and practice what we have seen and are going to see this evening. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we turn back to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and go into that. The two verses that has been talked about in the past few weeks on the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The Christian character is produced by the Holy Spirit. And this passage in Galatians is kind of a major important passage, not only in this book, but if you look at the Bible as a whole, as believers, it talks about what we ought to practice. The Spirit of God gives us the character as believers to live a life, and this is more like a guideline as to what we can look or keep our character against and see, are we living according to God's standard? It is not merely a discipline of trying to live by the law, but rather being controlled by the Spirit of God and letting Him take all the mastery of our life. That would produce the character. In this chapter, we see that godliness is being reminded to be practiced. And we see there are false teachers in this chapter, and Paul is talking about watching against the works of the flesh. And he begins with that, and then he goes into the fruit of the Spirit, which must be brought forth and cherished and cultivated. So on one side, we have things to avoid and oppose. Those are the works of the flesh. And on the other side, we have things to cherish and cultivate. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit for the last couple of weeks. Just wanted to run through each of them quickly, just give a sentence or two, and we would summarize with the final element, which is the self-control. So number one, we see love. And this is very different than what the world is asking us to practice. It is not based on what we feel or what we do, but rather it's a self-sacrificial love. It is something where we put the other people's needs before ours. And that is very contrary to what the world is teaching us, where we are taught to do everything for ourselves. It's all based on feelings and what we want to do. So the question that will come for us to think about as a recap, as we close on this passage, is that is our leadership or our character motivated by love for people? So keep that in mind as we go into that first element. Number two, we see joy. That is about the cheerfulness on a day-to-day conversations, a constant delight in God, a lasting expression, and it is not just an emotional reaction, but rather we are taking joy because we have hope in Christ. And that is something different. So the question that I like to pose for that one is that, do I exhibit an unshakable joy regardless of circumstances? And that is what we see in the second point, that is joy. Coming to peace, and this is a peaceful demeanor and behavior to others. We see in Philippians chapter 4, where we see that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding with God our hearts, and Paul is writing from prison. And that's because of the peace that he had. And he's saying no matter what happens to us circumstance-wise, we still have peace with God. So As a question, do we see or do people see our inner peace? And do they find courage in the peace that we are exhibiting? Number four, long-suffering, which is also known as patience. That is to defer anger and show patience to bear injuries and responding in love when differences arise among us. And God has been so patient to us. He is the greatest example. And he has extended grace and mercy. And we have to do the same. So are we patiently waiting for results as we develop these goals? Number five, gentleness or kindness. This is a sweet attitude to those that we come across, maybe those that we find inferior, being courteous to people even in the midst of things that are wrong, that we face, and not be vindictive, but rather return evil with good. So the question is that, are we caring and understanding to all we meet? Number six, goodness or generosity. This is a readiness to do good to all people when opportunities are arising and be honorable and charitable. So the question is that, do I want the best for others, or do I want the best in others? That is what brings up that fruit of goodness and generosity. Number seven, faithfulness. This is practicing justice and honesty in what we profess and promising to other people and being faithful in even the small things that we do. So even in simple things in life, being faithful since we know God is watching. So are we keeping our commitment? That is a question I like to pose for all of us. Number eight, meekness and gentleness. Or gentleness. And this means not to be easily provoked, to be pacified easily. It's a way to stand in contrast to the disorder and all the selfish things that we come across. It is a display of God's love to those in darkness. Even when we share our faith, we have to be gentle. We don't take it as a way to impose our beliefs on other people, but rather be gentle even at the time of giving our testimony or sharing God's word to people. So the question is our strength under control? Or can I be both tough and tender? And finally, we come to the self-control piece that is also known as temperance in some translations. And it is not to be excessive, but moderate. A difficult fruit to cultivate, but it can be practiced, even though it's difficult, with the Spirit of God. So am I being disciplined in making progress towards my goal? Now, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, we live in a time where people are more keen to show the gifts of the Spirit rather than the fruit of the Spirit. And that is seen pretty much everywhere, where because the gifts are much more, in the sense of what people are looking at, it is much more open, and maybe it brings more glory to a person. So there are people who are craving to exhibit the gifts of the Spirit, but rather how much of us are willing to focus on the fruit of the Spirit, which is more private in a sense. It may not be much open in front of people, but rather it's more private. And sometimes as human beings, you know, we tend to gravitate more towards the gifts of the Spirit, where we feel we are being recognized and we are being acknowledged. So it is always, it's tough sometimes to practice the fruit of the Spirit. We see a couple of verses in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. This is in connection to growing in faith. We read here, "For God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So the word sound mind is kind of similar to self-control or sound judgment or being self-controlled, self-disciplined, and also being wise in our discretion. So self-control is an area that we oftentimes struggle with. Even as I was thinking about this topic, I was thinking, what are the areas in our life where we oftentimes struggle to have self-control. And there are many different areas. I can think of finance. There are a lot of people, even believers, are not immune to that, where there's no control over finance. And there are families that struggle with that because the finance are not able to cope with managing their budgets. It could be self-control in relationships. And this can happen to many believers. And sadly, Satan uses this area to cause problems within families, where people are not able to manage their family relationship and have proper self-control. Sometimes it happens in church. Sometimes it also happens of people who don't have control over eating, and they have so much of passion for food. There's not a problem to eat, but rather sometimes the Bible teaches against gluttony, where people have no control over what they are eating. So in this passage, we see a fruitful growth in faith is that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, of power, and of love. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in the beginning, we see a passage on verses 5 through 9. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 5, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. In verse 9, and if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn with passion. And this is one area I feel Satan can take control and destroy marriages where people don't have self-control. So, in the principles of marriage, Paul is reminding people not to give in to Satan because of your lack of self-control. And then if you go into 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 2 nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. And here we see this is about the men and women in the church and talking about continuing in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. So this is another area we talked about within a marriage, and now we're talking about church. And then going to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. Now, this is talking about the end times and the apostasy that happens. Here we see about the perilous times and perilous men. We see here that men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So in this passage, in the Darby translation, the word self-control or uncontrolled, without self-control, is translated as someone who has unsubdued passions, where passions are out of control. And this is going to happen in the end times, and to be careful of that. And then in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 8, in connection to elders and the qualification, we see that be hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. So this is in connection to elders. And coming to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. To knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness. And this is talking about how to be fruitful and growing in our faith. If you start in the beginning in verse 5, we see add to faith virtue and so on. And then we see that to add to knowledge, self-control. So self-control is a product of the Holy Spirit. And in the Strong's Concordance, the word self-control is defined as proceeding out from within oneself, but not by oneself. Proceeding out from within oneself, but not by oneself. The reason is that temptations are strong. And we see that we have to overcome temptations and we need to have self-control in that area of temptation. Because we have a battle that's happening within us. And we know that even Paul has mentioned in the book of Romans about the battle between the good and the evil. But there's a lot of grace and strength that we need to have the self-control. Now, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot have self-control. It is the Spirit of God that empowers us, not only empowers us, but we also should have the choice and the desire to practice self-control. So it is something that we should make an effort and also receive. And if we lack self-control, we would be controlled by the whims of what we are doing, and we could be out of control and do things that are detrimental to us as individuals and as a body of believers. So if you look at self-control, there are a few benefits. I wanted to go into that. There are 7 points I'd like to bring up about self-control. Number one, self-control, it protects us. In Proverbs 25 and verse 28, we read, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." So self-control is like a fortified wall that protects us. As we see in this verse, like a city that is broken into and it doesn't have walls, it is prone to attack. So self-control is like a strong wall that we built around us to protect us. And we also see, number two, self-control is also attractive. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, we see, "Likewise, women should also adorn themselves with respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control." So here we see about the need to adorn ourselves with self-control, not by the external ornaments and all the other things that we do, but rather, this is something that we can adorn ourselves. It makes us attractive. Then we see self-control can benefit our testimony. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 6, we see, "Likewise, exhort the younger men to be sober-minded. In all things, show yourself an example of good works." So the word self-control is also used in this context, which is similar to being sober-minded. So it benefits our testimony to have self-control. And then number four, we can expect trials and temptations. As we were talking earlier, the devil is always trying to attack us, you know, and we are not free from temptations just because we are believers. So the trials and temptations will continue in our lives as we live in this bodily form. But we have to know that we are always facing those trials and temptations. So in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 12, we read, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened to you." So what Peter is saying is that do not think it strange when you are encountering temptations and trials. So as believers, we are prone to trials and temptations. We can certainly expect it. For that, we need self-control. It is also a battle which is hard and frustrating. And we can look in our own lives and see many times we have fallen. And even in the Bible, we see so many examples of people who are considered godly and righteous. And people like David, Samson, they've all fallen. Jonah, they have fallen. So the battle that we are facing is hard. And it could be frustrating at times. Like in Romans chapter 7, we read, Paul is talking about another law in my member that is warring against the law of my mind. And he talks about bringing it to captivity. And he talks about, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death?" And he talks about that fight that happens within us. So it is a constant battle. It can be hard, could be frustrating, it could put us down. So we need that self-control to hang in there with the Spirit of God to be able to constantly war against these elements that we are facing. But an encouraging fact is that we have the power of Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And in Philippians chapter 4 and 13, a very familiar verse, very encouraging, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Paul talks about that, even in high times and low times. He talks about his life, and then he says that I can do all things through Christ. So we have the power of God in us, no matter what circumstances we are going through, whether it is good times or bad times, we can always rely on the power of Christ. That Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. So as we continue in our lives, we can be encouraged that the Lord Jesus strengthened us, and through him we can do all things. Another point to keep in mind is that this is not a battle that we are battling by ourselves. The Spirit of God is going to come with us and help us to overcome temptations. It is not a battle where we are on our own. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But also 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Very encouraging verse. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, we will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We are not battling alone. The Spirit of God will continue to give us strength. God is faithful, that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And these are promises that we can hold on to. Even at times when things are frustrating and we are let down, when we feel that the battle is heavy and we are on our own, we can rely on the Spirit of God to give us the strength. And finally, we see that prayer is our weapon. Even with our desire to practice self-control, even with all the elements that are fighting against us, we have this weapon of prayer. And we see two verses where the Lord Jesus himself says in Matthew 6, in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this is the prayer that the Lord is teaching the disciples, that even as we go through temptation, to pray and ask the Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then in Matthew 26 and verse 41, again the Lord says, lead us not, and the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. And he talks about where we have the strength when we offer ourselves in prayer, that the Lord will give us the strength to cope with that. And in closing, as parents, I'm sure most of us who are here, and those who are on Zoom, there are many who are parents. And how do we teach our children to do the same? You know, as we practice self-control, and we can also teach our younger children or our younger people in our church and our families how to practice self-control. So we can teach them self-control by living a life of example. And as they get older, we can train them to now be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, self-discipline is not that easy. It doesn't come overnight. It is a process. We have to keep working at it. So even in the homes, it is something that we have to teach our children, and the children have to be learning from that. So as a guideline to emphasize or to empathize with our children, understanding the difficulty in going through that, because even as adults, we struggle with that many times. It is not easy, but we go through the time of frustration and difficulty. So as we teach our children how to manage self-control or to practice self-control, we ought to also understand the difficulty and teach them to be in prayer and with the Spirit of God, that they can overcome. So even as believers who are mature or new believers, we all need this gift of self-control, you know, especially in the times that we live, because there are things that we can see and we get distracted. You know, there are areas in our lives that we can look and see which parts in our lives do we need self-control. It could be marriage, it could be church, it could be finances, it could be some of the habits that we have. So we need to recognize that those are the areas where the devil is trying to come in. And we need to be careful that we are fortifying ourselves like the passage in Proverbs, as a fortified city. Do not let the wall be broken. We need to practice self-control. Let us fortify our cities with prayer. Let us fortify our cities with the Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we would be strong against the wiles of the devil. And may God help us to doing that. And as we conclude this passage with self-control, let us continue to look at all these different elements of the fruit. And may the Lord give us the grace and strength to exhibit and practice these things.